Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
No, that's not it. Hold on. I'm trying to laugh like Rosa and I can't do it. Hello, hello, hello.
Good show.
How's it going, Babelito?
It's going. I'm baking because I turned off the air conditioning here in the room. Pero todo sea por el amor al arte, tío. ¿Y tú cómo estás?
Wow. I'm doing great. Thank you for triggering me with that Spanish accent.
Ever since I saw for the third time that Juana Inés show, I hablo como la virreina. Juana Inés. Oh, so good.
It sounded so like an Almodovar movie over there.
Oh, speaking of... Oh, no, I won't. Anyway.
Okay, cool.
¿Qué show? ¿Qué comes? ¿Qué disfrutas? ¿Qué tomas? ¿Qué haces?
Oh, my gosh. I'm here just enjoying a nice, beautiful day. Drinking instant coffee. That's what I've been doing a lot because... This is the thing with this shelter in place that we're doing. I'm trying not to go to the store. And so I'm like methodically eating things out of the fridge, you know? And so it's gotten to the point now where things aren't tasting as great because I'm just like, okay, I have a carrot and some noodles and some sauce. Like, I'm just like, it's like I'm in college all over again, you know, and I don't have any money, but it's just because I don't want to go outside.
Right.
So, yeah, I've just kind of been making just random leftover dishes, which I actually love leftovers and kind of like configuring them into other things, you know. But you do need basic ingredients to do that. So for all you people out there eating peanut butter out of the jar, I'm here with you in solidarity because I don't got no bread, but I love peanut butter. Oh my God. That's what I did. I just remembered. Oh my God. So, you know, like I don't even know what you know because you're not on social media. So I don't know like how you consume popular culture.
Through my students.
Wow. Cool. Codependent relationship with your students. Okay. So... The trend has been like making sourdough, making banana bread. You know, all you gays out there,
girl.
Dyeing your hair blonde, making banana bread, and doing a sourdough starter. How many sourdough loaves have you made, Babelito?
Bitch, we're selling it. I'm not kidding. We're delivered.
I wish you were kidding.
I am not. We are selling sourdough bread here. And mi suegra está haciendo macayacas, como dice mi sobrino. Bien bonitas. So,
okay, do you like sourdough?
Yes. When it's done properly, it's fucking... Cuando tiene un chingo de hoyitos, although that shit triggers me, makes me feel like I want to throw up, but it tastes so good. Porque, okay, no te burles... But like,
too late.
There's this thing that like, si veo algo con muchos, muchos, muchos hoyos, it makes me like, it panics me a little bit. It makes me want to throw up. So I thought I was alone all my life.
Bitch, you don't moisturize? What happens when you look in the mirror and you see your pores?
Qué graciosa, estúpida. Pero, so I thought I was alone all this life. And then one day, like,
it's a real phobia.
Right. One day, like 10 years ago, mi hermanita, shout out to Bianca, who's been working in Walgreens nonstop and is put up with some bullshit from that stupid ass fucking company. But she's good. She's safe.
Good.
She came to me and she's like, soñé, like that, you know, those hole punchers that you buy para ponerle hoyos en las hojas. She dreamt that she had those holes all over her arm. And she said that just to think about it makes her like woozy, and I was like, oh my God, me too. And I looked it up, and I cannot Google it because in the Wikipedia page, I apparently it's like a condition, like es un pedo, no sé si es psicológico, no sé qué rollo, but it has a name, and I don't know what the fucking name is, and I don't care.
Cool.
But I can't look at things that have a lot of holes.
One at a time, baby. One at a time.
Okay, back to what I was talking about.
So, yes, sourdough, el aire, qué rico.
Hoyos al aire. Okay, so...
Ay, güey, hace mucho calor, no me haga reír.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you just laugh at everything. So, listen. Here we go. Whipped coffee is a thing. Oh, you know about this?
We've tried it too.
Let me guess, you're selling it on the side? You have a whipped coffee stand out front?
What? No, bitch. Everybody here is in social media except for my husband and I, but they keep us in check of what everything. So we've been trying it all.
Okay, so my cousin wanted to try whipped coffee. By the way, update, my cousin is quarantining with me since last week because she needed a place to live and I helped her out. So that's why I'm mentioning a cousin now. So now I have a roommate. And so my solitary bliss went out the door. Now aquí estamos con pinches perros y todo. So, but it's been nice. It's been nice having somebody to not talk to. Okay, so we're both very private person. I love her. So we get each other. It's wonderful. All right. So, like, let's try making that whipped coffee. We're trying to think of, like, something fun to do together. And so we made whipped coffee. And I thought it was just fine. Basically, what you do is you just take instant coffee and you whisk it with milk and cream or whatever and sugar and make it into a whipped cream with coffee in it and then put it in some milk. We have almond milk here because this is a vegan house. So we did it.
No levanta el almond milk, does it?
I have almond creamer, so, you know, get into it.
Wow.
And so it does. It works. And so we did that, and I'm like, I like this, but I want a little something extra in it, if you know what I mean. So
whiskey.
I put peanut butter in it, bitch. So I made a whipped peanut butter coffee iced drink, and it was delicious. So I recommend... Wow. Putting some peanut butter in it, but you might have to heat up the peanut butter, like water it down with some cream and like make it more viscous so that you can actually whip it with the rest of the ingredients. So that's what I've been doing. So you've been making sourdough. You've
not
been
me,
only,
girl. I have no patience for baking.
You've been only looking at one hole at a time.
One hole at a time.
One hole. That's the show I want to see.
Boring. No, when I was writing my dissertation, I was looking for excuses not to work. So I taught myself how to bake like cakes and decorate. That's when like todos esos pinches shows of cake decorated started to become very popular. So I started to make all, I started with the cake for my sister's baby shower for her first baby. And that was the most beautiful cake I've ever made. And it was downhill after that. So I got cocky and I'm like, I started buying fondant and all this bullshit. I will spend hours reading about it, learning about it. And I got really into it. And then the last time I baked a cake was for my niece's third birthday. This was the same one that I made the cake for her, ¿cómo se llama? Su baby shower. And I was like, I got it. So I made it this big ass cake. Todo me salió mal. I tenía mi prima Karina from Juarez like baking with me. The cake looked ugly. It was messy. I was embarrassed and I hated it. I was like, okay, so I'm not doing this for fun anymore. I guess I have to start writing my dissertation. I have no patience. So it has to be mi propio tiempo y mi propio judgment, and I just can't do it anymore. So I've been watching people make a lot of fucking bread, and I've been eating a lot of it because when you make it, it's three ingredients. It's water, flour, and salt. And when you buy it, it's not three ingredients. So I feel like you can eat as much as you want. So I've been eating a lot of bread, banana bread, cookies, oatmeal cookies, you name it. There's sweets all the time, so... And I haven't been sleeping very well. I don't know qué chingados está pasando. So I've been jumping a lot here in our room, trying to sleep. So eating, jumping, and studying. That's my life for the past month and a half. who am I kidding? That's been my life for the past fucking 20 years. But blessed, good, happy with my students. Sometimes we talk every week. We just have coffee and they tell me what they're doing. And that's been very, 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 very nice. So everything, it's good.
Great. So will you want to tell us about what's happening on today's episode, finally?
So back in the day before Latinos Who Launch, you told me about a podcast called For Colored Nerds. Mm-hmm. And they had an episode on Stevie Wonder. And they deconstruct the genius that is Stevie Wonder for an hour. And
Pause really quick. So For Colored Nerds eventually became the podcast The Nod, which is now a TV show on Quibi called The Nod. So check them out. Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings, they're amazing. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yes. So I heard that episode and you had been telling me to start our podcast. And after I heard that episode, I was like, I want to do that with Re. Like, that's exactly what I want to do with Café Tacuba. So that's one of the reasons why I was so excited to start the podcast, because I wanted to really go in depth into certain albums. Another album, so needless to say that it's fine after 4 years. Finally did the research. We've been thinking about it for a while, and we are going to deconstruct then the album. I think it's not my favorite, but it is one of my top three albums of all time. This is from 1994, the album Re by Café Tacuba. Bitch, I am so excited to get into it.
Yes, let's get hella Mexican. Oh, I'm so excited.
So I want to first start talking about our attachments to that album, some personal, you know, just when did you hear Re, or like, what are your memories with Re? And then we can start talking about the songs. And one of the things I want to do is talk about the concept of the album, because I listen to podcasts and radio shows, and nobody gets into the incredible, amazing fucking concept of the album, which is one of the reasons why I want to do this. So this is going to be the ultimate fucking podcast that talks about Re, porque todos los demás valen vergas.
You heard it here first. Okay, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back with everything Re. All right, we'd like to take this moment to thank our Patreon patrons, our Patreon familia. Thank you for supporting us. Last week, we thanked all of our madrinas. This week, our comadres are getting a shout out. Thank you so much to Adrian E. Thank you, Adrian.
Alba, shout out to you. Thank you, comadre.
Alberto G.
Alexandra, muchas gracias.
Alicia K.
What?
Come on, girl. You didn't have to do that. I saw her yesterday. Oh, my God. I miss her so much. Okay. Thank you, Alicia.
Alonso R., shout out to you.
Andrea Q.
ABQ. Angela A., shout out.
Anita R., we miss you, mujer fiera.
Ann L., shout out to you.
Anthony R.
Antonio V. Muchísimas gracias.
Barry. That's Barry at podcastincolor.com.
Camille S. Shout out.
Chelsea M. H.
Cynthia J. Muchas gracias.
Dalia L.
Dan. Gracias.
Thank you, Dan the man. Danielle S. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for changing to comadre finally. Grizzly Kiki. Love you guys.
David L. Shout out to you.
Dulce P. Always thinking of you.
Shout out to...
Why are you laughing?
Mira, es que no sé por qué, porque me da mucho, mucho funny este fucking name. But also
mucho
the
funny.
Name, but also the name Dora, man, because...
It's actually Dulce, so can you read her?
No, yes, pero Dulce P y Dora just remind me of my cousin, because he used to make stupid jokes. We used to have a... We used to have a neighbor. Her name was Mama Rosa. Not Rosa, Mama Rosa, Mama es mi suegra. Mama Rosa.
Uh-huh.
And he was always like, I'm so glad her name is not Dora.
Mamadora. Wow.
Anyway, mi humor de secundaria. Muchísimas gracias to everybody. Thank you to our comadres. Thank you to our madrinas and our amigas. We'll give you more shout outs in the next couple of episodes. And remember, you have to go to latinoswholunch.com/donate to support us and also donate on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bra! Okay. And we're back.
Así es.
Okay, Babs, get into the concept, girl. I want to know what this album's all about because I have my thoughts. I have my notes. I will let you know that I spent hours and hours and hours researching this months ago when we were supposed to do it. So I forgot all that information. And I did it again for this episode. I have my notes ready. It was a nice trip down memory lane. The influence in this, I'm really impressed by the influences in the music, and you know, I'm ready to talk about it. So I want to know, I do want to know the concept behind it, because I think you're right. I don't think anybody has really gone over that in any of the podcasts or YouTube interviews that I've seen.
So the concept behind it, it's very simple. It's about cycles. The name Re in Latin means again and again and again. And if you look at the cover, it has un caracol. And the caracol, it's about the embodiment of cycles. And that it's something that, and it's also like the archetype, like in Mesoamerica, especially in Central Mexico, and the Nahuatl, the Mexica area. It's an archetype, it's the idea of movement. So a lot of the, when you think about it in those terms, and the way that they did it is the cycles that they're talking about, they're cycles of migration. So there's a lot of references to colonization. There's a lot of references to migrating from one place to another. La Negrita va de la ciudad a la playa. And then you have even, it starts with the biggest migration, which is basically an abduction from aliens. So at every point in the album, it's about going and coming back, leaving and returning, voluntarily or involuntarily, ya sea afuera del vagón del metro o dentro del vagón del metro. There's always a reference to that. And they do that through 1,000 different types of music. And that's what most of the podcasts and radio shows that I listen to concentrate on. They talk about the incredible amount of rhythms and sounds that they explored, because they broke with rock en español. Even though this is during the epitome of rock en español, this album broke with it, and people were pissed because they didn't sound like the fucking Clash, or they didn't sound like The Cure no more. They broke with that stereotype that was rock en español. And although they were not the first ones to start to integrate all this Mexican local instruments and rhythms to music, because I can think of other bands, including Caifanes, for instance, they all are coming out at the same time. And the movement was called Rock en Español. But Re was something else. Re, like, quebró la taza y mandó a todos a su pinche casa, right? And it was very criticized because of that, because it broke in a way with a movement. And in my opinion, it solidified a movement. But the concept really, it's about that. And that's what I wanted. That's why I was so excited to talk about this album, because it's about migration. It's about movement. It's about displacement. It's about gentrification. It's about ideas of movement, cyclical ideas of movement, being local on the now or being historical, which is what El Fin de la Infancia, for instance, talk about. And nobody, I keep looking, even the book about Café Tacuba, written by Enrique Blanc, they don't cover that. And I have yet to see an interview where they go into detail about some of those concepts, because to me, they're very clear, you know?
Yeah. So are we going to go song by song? What are you thinking?
Yes, let's go song by song. But I also wanted to talk a little bit more about our attachment to the album, because this was my first concert. This tour was my first concert. I was 11 years old. It was in un terreno donde hacen la feria de Ciudad Juárez. That was my very first concert. And I was shook, girl, because I was just sitting in the audience, not sitting, but standing up. And it was kind of like a lot of things were happening in life, no? Y una de esas cosas fue de que I heard somebody going, Jock, 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 Jock. And then I turned around y mi hermana Osiris.
Oh my God.
She was drinking a beer, like, and everybody was cheering. And she was 16. I was like, what is happening? Like, it was almost like a coming, ¿cómo se dice? Como like.
Coming of age.
Yeah, type of thing. And I remember, like, el mosh pit in Mexico le dicen métete al slam. Me metí al slam.
Like that.
Y me pusieron unos putos madrazos, salí todo enlodado.
Oh, damn, but I wish I was there.
But I just remember thinking, like, that's it. Like, I want to go to concerts. Like, this is the best fucking feeling ever. And it was re. And it's so funny because now, for instance, they don't get into La Ingrata. They don't sing that song. And we'll talk about it in a second. But I remember that in that concert, they played that song twice. Like, that's how fucking lit it was. And it wasn't until the 20th anniversary tour must have happened in 2012, 2013. I'm not sure. That it hit me. I remember, like, I was with Madalena. Shout out Madalena. And the concert started. I don't know what happened. It hit me and I was like, this is my favorite fucking band. I can trace songs to parts of my life. I can trace different albums to different things that were going on with me. And it just hit me. And that, to this day, the 20th anniversary tour of Café Tacuba was probably my favorite concert of all time because of that. Because it was one of those things that I was like, oh my God, this is not just my favorite band. Like, they're part of, like, my fucking identity, you know? So, it's just so many fucking memories. And shout out also to Nannies in Juarez, because we have this running joke because they let us borrow her. She let us borrow her CD of Re. This was back in 1995 and we never returned it. So every time we text or we used to reach out in social media, she's like, where is my CD? Anyway, so yeah, I have a lot of memories. But if you want to, like, we can get into it, like, song by song, because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
Okay, so I want to hear your opinion. El Aparato first, which is the first song.
Okay, let's see. My notes say, starts with nice guitar, harks to indigenous sounds, and there's a narrative. So I feel like, okay, so I'm going to get... I come from, like, a classical music background, so I kind of analyze the album in that sense.
Right.
My experience with the Café Tacuba is a little different than yours. I knew about them growing up, but they weren't, like, my favorite band or anything for many reasons. One, because my brothers loved this band so much. I mean, my brothers were, like, into rock and español, like, when I was in high school. I think they were in middle school. And so, you know, they loved all that shit, like Molotov and all that. And so...
Cock rock, as I call it.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of associated the Café Tacuba with that. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older and I got into music on my own, I just started researching, like, important albums. And one of my favorite albums that I discovered during that time was actually Cuatro Caminos by
Café
Tacuba. I think that's my favorite album. I think my favorite Café Tacuba song is on there too. And so I like this reverence to history that Café Tacuba has and the way that they mash all these influences together. So with El Aparato, this is the thing, and I've said this before on the show when we do music episodes, I don't really listen to the lyrics, I'm listening to the music.
Right.
And so it's this first song pretty much lays down the map for the whole album, basically.
Yes.
And so
it's a hell of an opening song, yeah.
It's an opening song that just lets you know from the jump, like, okay, we're gonna have a little bit of rock here, we're gonna have indigenous Mexican sounds happening. We're going to tell you a story from the jump. And it's a very... El Aparato is like a very distinct Café Tacuba sound. And so this whole album, I think, could be split into three separate movements. And so this track one, I consider track one through track seven the first movement of the album.
Yeah, and this is also... a statement, because nobody has done this fuse of electronic, rock, and Mexican sounds, or regional, you know, Mexican sounds, like that song. The movement at the time was rock en español, and it comes as a response to rock en tu idioma. And rock en tu idioma was more of that middle to late 80s of people like Soda Stereo, people like even Caifanes. They were doing a lot of sounds that sounded very much like British music, like US music. So The Cure was a huge fucking influence at the time, right? And Soda Stereo, for example, was gigantic. And there's also people like Alaska, they're also doing, it's so in a way, like the quote-unquote Hispanic rock starts with La Movida.
Oh, Alaska, my friend Alaska?
Yes, your friend Alaska, bitch. It starts with like La Movida, where you have all these people in Spain starting to catch up on everything that is happening in Britain and the U.S., and then people in Mexico and South America pick that up, and it's rock en tu idioma, and then people in Mexico City pick that up and become rock en español of the 90s. But again, Café Tacuba solidifies that and breaks that with this song, because it starts with a huapango. And a huapango is like a type of Huasteco sound that comes from the area of La Sierra de Veracruz, Tamaulipas. Famous mariachi huapangos, for instance, include La Malagueña, Cucurru Cucu Paloma.
Oh, yeah.
Those are famous. And you know what's fucking cool about this song is that they play la guitarrita. Ya se me olvidó el nombre. They play the guitarrita in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That is a sound that, even though they knew about, because they're Mexicans, when they were in tour in Chicago, they saw a band called Mono Blanco, and they reach out to the members of Mono Blanco and say, we want to learn huapango. So this is about a band in Mexico City that it is in Chicago that they actually learn about these Mexican sounds, and they learn about it. So they fly them to Mexico City and taught them how to play some of this music. And the song is about that. It starts straight on as a huapango, and it ends like an electronic dance song. Mm-hmm. And it's about this person from a small town that has been abducted by aliens. That's the whole thing. And again, it's about leaving and coming back. Está traumatizado, está en el hospital. Pablo tiene quemaduras y ceguera permanente, no puede hablar. Like, it's about the trauma also of this sort of reo, this sort of movement. And then again, it is to this day, and I kid you not just because we're doing this episode, this is my favorite song period of all time. And I've only heard it live once, because they never played it, even though
didn't we go to the
you were there, yeah.
Yeah,
because we went to the you were in a
different dimension, girl. I don't know what plane you were floating on, but me and your sister were like, well, I guess we lost them. Bye. Want to go get another beer, OCDs? Yeah, I'm down. Let's go.
I've always said that if you truly want to know who I am, you have to see me in a Café Tacuba concert. Porque no sé, tío, me transformo. Like, I just, algo, I don't know, man. Like, I really feel possessed.
I want to know something, and I want you to be honest, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so doing research on this album, I watched a lot of YouTube. Like, their Unplugged of this album is really good. I recommend it if anybody wants to see them playing. And I realized that the way that you dance is basically the same way that the lead singer of Café Tacuba dances. Did you ever watch his videos and just like practice, like mimic his dancing?
No, I
are you sure?
I'm really sure, but
it was uncanny.
Cuando vivíamos en Juárez, like, I remember my friend was in a talent show and I directed that talent show, right?
So, come on, gay, I love it.
So le hicimos el pelo con las trencitas así como en el Unplugged, because el Unplugged nos pegó duro, man. And I was like, ay, te vas a vestir así, te vamos a poner el pelo así. So I was living bicuriously through him. And
bicuriously. That's and, a good one.
But no, but I think me at a concert when I don't give a fuck, which reaching that I don't give a fuck moment, it's harder and harder with the years. But when I reach that, which you saw, I think it's a combination between Rubén de Café Tacuba and Tom York from Radiohead.
I believe his name during this album was Cosme, so
Sorry, I never could keep up because he keeps changing his name.
Okay.
But so good.
Girl,
but
I have so much to say about that guy, but maybe I'll sprinkle it in the other songs. Let's get to the next track.
La Ingrata.
Okay.
Ay, ay, ay. Pues es que se armó un pedote,
okay,
right?
Talk about it. What is it?
So this song is the song. This is the Café Tacuba song. This is the most famous of all Café Tacuba songs. This is what made Café Tacuba. Pero it's supposed to be a nod of ranchera music and making fun of machismo. But as Audre Lorde says, the master tools will never dismantle the master's house. So at some point in the movie, because they're narratives, in the song talks about like, mejor te obsequio un par de balazos para que te duela, you know? So, like, even though it's calling out this machista culture, at the same time, in that funny tone of voice, it's inciting to violence, or some people were saying that it did. So they decide to stop playing that song, and they actually played it for the first time for a Vive Latino, I believe, like a year ago, with Alicia Echeverri. And she, it was this year. Ay, no me acuerdo. Time is a construct. And they changed the lyrics to talk about stop the genocide that is happening in Mexico. But it's essentially como una ranchera norteña, you know, like a northern, very machista song. But they made fun of that.
It's a satire. It's also a comment on Mexicans from the north and how people from Mexico City think they're better. But nobody ever talks about that.
Yeah, like chingones. Yeah.
Uh huh. So, it's not that I'm like upset about it because I'm from the north, but I remember my grandma actually when I first went to Mexico telling me about that stereotype. She's like, "Just be careful because people think this about people from here," and I was like, "I'm like, I'm 7. Why are you telling me this?" Because I was like wearing a Durango hat, and she could have just told me to take the hat off because of we're in Chihuahua, because we were all like on a bus.
Right.
And she's like, just check this. We don't want any problems with these fucking idiots on this bus. But instead, she decided to give me a lecture about how men are violent in northern Mexico. And I'm like, opposed to what? Like, men are violent in every fucking part of the world.
Everywhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so yeah, it was supposed to be a satire, of course. People are dumb and thought it was like a serious song about violence towards women, which it obviously, when I listen to it, it's not. It's making fun of that, you know? But,
right.
You know, there's a fine line, and a lot of people, they just refuse to see the lines, just like the people at the supermarket not staying 6 feet away from me when there's clearly lines marked on the fucking ground. Okay. Ingrata is amazing. And next is El Ciclón, which, again, Rey, going back to the topic at hand.
Right. It's about cycles. Then this one is about cycles of life, about nature and all of this. And this is a good opportunity because las influencias de Café Tacuba, they're everywhere. People, I don't know why people don't give them. A lot of people are like, oh, Café Tacuba, aburres. But like, they're quoting XTC, bands from the 80s, for instance. They have like, estos cabrones eran unos fresas. Like, it's not just like some random rock en español thing. Like, they were nerds, not only of literature, but also of music. So I think this is the most contemporaneous song of the album. That it's more about
my notes on this song just says 90s AF.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think that like La Canción del Aparato, it can come out today and it will sound like what a lot of Latinx kids are doing, you know, what a lot of Chilenos are doing, because there's more and more movement. That's why, for example, in the last episode, I commented on how I came late to the Colombia boat. In a way, what the Colombians are doing, what the Dominicans are doing, where they're fusing their local rhythms, understanding the great variety of the local rhythms into reggaeton, into rock, putting it all together, that's in a way what Rock en Español was trying to do. But El Ciclón is just a straightforward 90s song that in a way best captures the idea of again this archetype of cycles. I love every single song of this album, but that's not my favorite of the album.
Yeah, and you mentioned Chile, and I was listening to a podcast from Chile about this album, and they said that that this album was actually embraced by most of Latin America except for Mexico when it first came out.
Right, because I think they were
South America was playing, like in Chile, they were playing like four or five of the songs on the radio, and they didn't even, the Mexicans wouldn't even look at it, basically, you know, at the radio stations.
I think Re became big after several tours. I think it became big because of El Unplug. Because MTV, believe it or not, was the shit. MTV was the biggest platform for rock en español. So all these bands that may be considered obscure today, they had videos. My favorite band, Santa Sabina, and the album, you know, Babel, which we talked about. That's where I, you know, like I got mi apodo or whatever. They had an MTV Unplugged, and Santa Sabina is dark as fuck. You will never see anything like that. So they actually, MTV Latino helped disseminate this album throughout Latin America. But yeah, Mexicans came late. They, when this album first came out, because of this machista, rock en español sort of mentality, this was like, it was too much. It was too electronic. It was too poppy. It was too fresa, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think you're right. El Ciclón was a huge hit in Chile before anywhere else.
Okay, track four, El Borrego.
Bitch.
A mí me gusta el punk rock latino.
It is, oh my God, you're right. It's very similar to that. El Borrego is the song that quotes Ministry. And Ministry is a band also from the early '90s that it's just like, it's like heavy metal is what it is. And they said that they got inspired because they played in Lollapalooza and they saw them live. So they wanted to talk about it, but it's also about la gente puede ser bien posers, right? And they're like, yeah, I only listen to rock. And the guy's like, no, like I go, voy a las bardas, hago graffiti, y luego el día siguiente I do community service and then I clean them up. So it's kind of like, it calls out the hypocritical culture behind some of this like very machista type of music movements. And los rockeros son así, güey, que escuchan así rock con sus amigos, and then in secret they're listening to Vuela, Vuela, you know? I think that's what he's talking about.
Esa Noche, track five. I was surprised. This one is actually the number one played track by Café Tacuba on Spotify.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was also surprised, but I also know in one of the podcasts that I listened to, this was actually covered by some guy in Chile as well, José Alfredo Fuentes, El Pollo Fuentes, and apparently he's kind of like a joke, but a very popular singer. So they say that this is the nod to Chavela Vargas. This is that type of like, almost like very sentimental. It's not a mariachi song. It's more like bolero type of song, but it's a gorgeous song. And this is a song where you realize that Ruben is not bullshitting you. Like, he knows how to fucking sing, right? And that's one of the things that I remember reading back in the day about the Unplug, that he, like, he really comes out, and he's a really good vocalist.
Yeah, you know, for the longest time, I didn't like Café Tacuba because I didn't like his voice. And I know some people have talked about it. Sometimes it takes a minute for them to, like, get into it, I think. ¿Cómo se llama el otro que canta?
Emmanuel.
His voice, I love. It's like fucking butter. And he's not necessarily the best singer, but...
He's not.
He has a really solid voice. I like it.
And if you notice,
and this song really showcases that.
And some of the biggest songs of Café Tacuba is when Meme sings.
Yeah, he's amazing, and he. This song has one of my favorite things. I know it's corny and like it's old, but the canon, like the round, like when they say the same thing over and over, and then like move it over a couple bars. I love. It's like row, row, row your boat kind of thing. You know, they do that. They do a round at the end of the song, and it's so beautiful, all the layers.
Yeah, and it's just a very straightforward regional song. Like, there's not necessarily any interventions of contemporary sounds, and they just fucking nailed it. And also, we have to mention that this was produced by Gustavo Santaolalla, And Gustavo Santaolalla, he's rock en español. He produced some incredible albums in for South American rock en español bands. He did, I think he won an Oscar even. Like, he's like a really good fuck. I think the soundtrack of Amores Perros, it was also by Santaolalla. So he's somebody that pushed Café Tacuba not to sample some music. Because they have influences by XTC, Depeche Mode, Ministry, so they could have easily just taken chunks of those or rhythms from those songs and add them to their songs or make whatever they want from them. And Santaolalla is like, no, if you want a Ministry-like song, then you make a Ministry-like song. We're not going to quote them, you know? And the result is that even though this sounds like a thousand different things, it's also very, very fresh and very Café Tacuba, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're on to track 6. Okay, this, believe it or not, is the track that I spent the most time researching.
Really?
Yes, because in the back of my head, when I heard this, I was like, this song is a direct reference to another song, and I know it, and it drove me crazy for a fucking... like 2 hours, I was like, what song is this? What song is this? And I fucking found it. And when I found it, I was like so disappointed. I was kind of disappointed, but at the same time confused. Okay, and let me take you through my journey, okay? So this song starts with like dun 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 dun, like a really staccato beat with the drum, like dun 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 dun, and then it gets into, how does it go? It gets into like a soft singing, right?
Yeah, like and then it goes into almost like a trio type of song, and then it come back dan dan dan. I think that's quoting XTC. Yeah,
no bitch, this is what it is, because I fucking found it. And okay, listen. Okay, so a lot of people, a lot of ignorant podcasts, and I know I talk about this on the show a lot, like I hate doing comparing albums or Latin American things to white things, but a lot of people reference Café Tacuba's white album, like the Beatles, you know?
Right.
And so, and when I started Googling that after going crazy about this song, I said, there's something here. There's a lot of interviews where Ruben and people from the band actually really, they hate when people compare them to the Beatles. They say we're our own thing, and they are, but I couldn't find evidence of this song being a direct Beatles reference, but it is, okay? It is. So this song is called 24 Horas, 24 Hours, and it's this. What I wrote in my notes initially, I was like, this sounds like it's from the 60s. It sounds like beach music, or like, so I was thinking Beach Boys and Beatles already when I listened to it, and it harkens to like the old days of rock in Mexico, right? Because Mexicans were really into that shit up until now, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I haven't listened to the Beatles, Babelito, in like 5 years, because, you know, like I used to love them so much that I have to take a break from listening to them. But I listened to, I want to say, like 50 Beatles songs to try to find the part that I feel like this was inspired from. On Sgt. Pepper, you know, the famous Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, blah, 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 whatever. There's a song called A Day in the Life, which is a song that John and Paul wrote. They picked up the newspaper and they just read really tragic headlines in the newspaper, and they just put the words, they just put the article into words. And then right in the middle of the song, if you go to minute 216, okay, Paul McCartney takes over and does this really corny, cheesy thing. And it goes, dun, 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 dun. I know you know the part. Remember? Do you know the song?
Wake up, fill out a bed.
Out of bed.
Yes.
Grab the cone across my head. Dun, 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 dun. It's the same tempo. It's the same key, everything. And that song is called A Day in the Life. This song is called 24 Horas. It's got to be the reference.
It
like,
is because
it's got to.
Wait, y la canción de Café Tacuba empieza with like about sleeping, which is how the song is of the Beatles, like tantas horas sin dormir, like woke up,
yes,
fell out of bed.
It's the, yes, it's no, the same song. song. Not the same song, but it's, I feel like it's in direct reference.
No mames.
I never put it together because I've never heard them talk about it.
So, Ruben, if I know you're listening to this, like, hey, it's okay to be like, yeah, we did a direct reference. All you motherfuckers kept saying we sound like the Beatles. Well, this is it, you know, like we gave you what you wanted. But it's definitely it. Listen to it. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, my God. It's so, so good.
Oh, my God. I wasted so much of my life looking for that.
It's worth it because I had no fucking clue and I thought I had all the fucking references down, bitch, for this shit.
And so I hope I impressed y'all with my Beatles knowledge. You're welcome, everyone. Okay.
Okay, so next song is Ixtepec, talking about migrations. It's about that. It's about walking. It's about moving around. And this is also another song that it's very 90s, but it's fusing a lot of those sounds of like Mexican sounds, you know, con la guitarrita. The name of the instrument is la jarana. I couldn't remember the name of the instrument, and that's the instrument they learned from that Chicago band. But this is what's fascinating about it, that a lot of the rhythms came about from experience. It wasn't they've been listening to a lot of this music and stuff, but it wasn't until they toured with the first album they started getting first contact with a lot of these references that they actually use. That's why it's so good, because I think it was a group of kids that was eager to get to this point. And to this day, I mean, people still think about, when they think about Café Tacuba, they think about this album, even though to me, we can also spend a whole episode just talking about Cuatro Caminos, because it's that good of an album as well, you know?
Yeah, so this track, I feel like, ends the first section of the first movement of the album, and it ties it. The style of the song is the same style as El Aparato, if you listen to the song structurally.
Yeah,
it's
like a huapango, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, okay. Okay, next one, which is one of my favorites because of the topic, is Trópico de Cáncer.
Can I read you what I wrote?
Go for
in the notes? It says, soft political environmental pop.
That's exactly it.
Okay, next song.
And this is the name comes from Joselo y Kike Rangel, they're brothers. And they were both, I think Joselo even studied literature. So they have all these literary references. Trópico de Cáncer is based on the novel by Henry Miller called Tropic of Cancer. So the title, not that the novel, it's about this, because this song is about an employee of Pemex, Petróleos Mexicanos, and how he realizes that they're fucking up with all these indigenous communities and all these small communities around Mexico, more specifically Veracruz, because they fuck so many areas of Veracruz para extraer petróleo. So he's like, fuck this shit. Like, I don't want to deal with this stuff. And it's so interesting because this is also very colonial. Because he talked about like, oh no, we're not just extracting oil. Venimos a civilizar. Like, what about civilization? What about all of these barbarian peoples? And it tells you that there's like a neo-colonial movement of civilizing through consumption, but also through the extraction of resources and exploitation of the natural environment. This is a brilliant song, but I think it has a lot to do with that Joselo, even Ruben, like they all have a lot of literary references, and the way they construct the songs, they're like little stories. So this guy, again, he goes al campo, pero no para vivir, sino para trabajar. So he's like, no, I want to go back home. Like, I don't want to deal with this neo-colonial bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Ay, so good. Okay. Trópico de Cáncer, El Metro.
Track 9, El Metro. Hella 90s again.
Yeah. You know, this kind of happened to me. I mean, in a tiny little minuscule way. If you go into Mexico City's hora pico, which is when everybody gets off work, wait, you better be like aware, not because of bad things that happen. It's just like, it's so fucking crowded. I got stuck con mi prima Rocio. Shout out to Rocio. I got stuck with my prima Rocio for like 3 stops. We couldn't get out of the metro. We were stuck. to a point that un señor me ayudó. Me dice, oiga, ¿se quiere salir? ¿Quiere que lo ayude? So he grabbed onto the bars. He did a pull-up. He pulls himself up, and then he starts kicking me, and I had my backpack. He started kicking me in my backpack to the way that I had to push everybody away, and then I was able to exit through the back door. So this idea, this song, it's about overpopulation. It makes fun of it. He's basically saying, they're basically saying, I got stuck in a wagon of the metro and I could never come out. So I'm living off of all the shit that everybody's selling, like chicles, chocolates, and all this stuff. It's a pretty funny song, but yeah, in terms of music, it's hella 90s.
It sounds like a TV show theme song.
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. Ooh, one of my favorites next.
Track 10, El Fin de la Infancia. I wrote Norteño Punk. That's what I wrote.
When I was reading the book, they talk about how they were in Mazatlan in a tour. And at the time, there was a style of music called El Caballito, which is kind of quebradita on coke. That's basically what it is. And this is not me saying that. Like, they also make references of, like, if you take a hit of coke and you listen to Quebradita, that's how fast it goes, you know? Like, it almost nears as punk. And they talk about how they went to a Quebradita club, and it's hella machista, and they were with the singer of Santa Sabina, and she was so uncomfortable. She's like, this shit is so machista. I want the fuck out of here. And they had to run out of the club. But the sound of El Caballito, which was big on the 90s, stuck to them. And that's what this song is about. And this is the most colonial song. This is why it's one of my favorite songs. Because it talks about how they have to dance with their own rhythms. And that we have been frustrated for 500 years. So it's time to not idealize this mestizo fucking bullshit identity, you know? It's super, super interesting when you listen to all the lyrics. And it's the most punk song, I think. Even more than El Borrego, that they've done, because of the lyrics and also because of the rhythm, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, track 11, Madrugal. What does that mean?
Madrugal is like madrugada, like...
Oh.
Yes. And it's just, this is a simple, sweet Los Panchos type of song. And it's about,
like a folk, it's a folk song.
Yeah, and it's just a nod also to the mess that sometimes a big city can be, you know. That's why it says,
yeah.
La catedral está llena de caca de paloma. It's a cute song.
And then we have Pez and Verde, and I feel like these two songs could have been one song, but they split them into two.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of rounds out the second movement of the album.
Right. And these are the type of songs that people do not relate Café Tacuba with. Every time people think of Café Tacuba, they think Ingrata. They think some of these more quote-unquote Mexican songs. But they have some experimental shit, you know? And when you listen to the whole album and you listen to Pez and Verde, it's almost like, oh, wait, who is this band? But every single album of Café Tacuba has this like experimentation moment that people deny it because they rarely play these songs live. And when they play the songs live, people start being fucking rude and talking and shit, you know?
Yep. Mexicans. Oh. Okay.
Pero espérate. This is also about migration because it's about a fish in a tank. And then they catch him. And he's like, oh, shit, I cannot breathe no more. Is this it? Is this the end? It's a cute song.
Okay. Now, track 14, La Negrita. It's a samba.
It is a samba. It's very Brazilian.
Mm-hmm.
This is my sister's favorite song. Shout out, Osiris. Okay. I think I gave her like 1,000 shout outs. You know what? That's because like my music formation, it's my sister Osiris. She was obsessed with Nirvana. She was obsessed with Café Tacuba. She was obsessed with Björk. And with my dad, who was obsessed with the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and all that classic rock. So it was listening to the stuff my sister was listening to and the stuff that my dad used to listen to that got me into music so hardcore, you know? And La Negrita, it's her favorite song. This is also about migration. This is about somebody from the coast, an Afro-Latina coming from the coast, going into Mexico City, what's the big fucking deal, and then goes back to the coast, and she's happy again in her small town. Again, it's about cycles, about moving, you know?
Hmm. You want to know my notes for this song?
Go for it.
It says, exotization and commodification of black women once again. That's what
yeah,
I wrote.
Yeah, there's all those elements to the song, but I really think that they are, I really do think that they are more, they are giving you more como examples of different types of migrations back and forth to the
city. I'm getting a text from Audrey Lorde. She said,
right, exactly. Call me out, bitch.
Fuck you. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I'm reading it out loud.
Yeah.
She said to call you master. Okay.
Bitch. She's funny. It's also an interesting song because I don't think, and this is another one of those songs that people they don't play live. So I think when we listened to it live was the first time that we actually heard it. But it's interesting, and it's a good thing that you call me out, because this is how the shit functions, right? Like, everybody call out the idea of Ingrata when La Negrita potentially can be even more fucking problematic. Not that we should measure which one is more problematic than the other, but we're so tone deaf when it comes to Afro-Latino stereotypes and ideas and problems, you know, that people completely erase that and they concentrate on other quote-unquote universalities, but it's all bullshit anyway. Mm-hmm.
Okay, track 15, home stretch.
El Tlatuani del Barrio.
El Tlatuani, el Tlatuani del Barrio. Yeah, it's a great song.
This is supposed to be Cucapa in Cucapa, which is not the beer, but it's almost like a funerary Nahuatl song. That's why it starts Wayamawayo. And Tlatuani refers to a Nahuatl warrior. So it's about, and this is about, I think it's a boxer. And then you even heard the ring, boom, like ringing in the back.
I think I looked it up. It says it's like it was the king, like the leader of a municipality.
Right.
That's what that word meant.
Yeah, the Tlatuani, it's about, because the Tlatuani was the warrior, was the king, was like the leader.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think that's what they're referring to. But again, they bring it back to, and this album, I think this and La Maldita Vecindad y Los Hijos del Quinto Patio album, ¿cómo se llama este? Ay, ahorita me acuerdo. They're about Mexico City. And Mexico City, you cannot encapsulate it into one basic idea, right? It's super fucking complicated. So this is about a different neighborhoods. That La Canción Ingrata, for instance, where they recorded in satellite, and that's their neighborhood. So it's a celebration to Satellite. So it's about the billion different faces of Mexico City, not only of Mexico within Mexico City, but also, again, as I mentioned before, this sort of relationship of inside and outside. And I think at Tlatuani del Barrio, if this song would have been done today, it would have been about a narco or something like that, you know, but it's done in a different way. And I love this song.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, Las Flores.
This is one of the hits.
This one was a hit. This one was a single, a cachito, like you say.
Qué pendejo eres. This song was actually covered by Jepe. Have you heard the?
Yes.
It's a beautiful cover. Jepe covered Las Flores. Juan Pablo Vega.
Chileans love this
they
shit.
They do.
They love it. They eat it up, girl.
Chile and Argentina loved Café Tacuba, I think, more than Mexico. Now Mexico get it. But as we mentioned before, it took a while. And that's one of the staples. I think, I don't think this was a single. Oh, no, it was a single. Never mind, because it has a video. Anyway. Okay. Number 17, La Pinta.
La Nina La Santa Maria. What did I write on here? I can't even read my own fucking writing, bitch. I'm so stupid.
A ver, pendejo.
I drew a picture of Morgan McMichaels and it says rock and roll, baby.
This is, speaking of contemporary songs, this is they mentioned that this is their most grunge song. And, you know, because they're performing in all these festivals and the stage
yes,
and shit.
It even has, like, that classic 90s harmonica in it. It's just so funny to me.
Yeah, it's I like this song because it's also colonial reference. Because La Pinta, as you say, it's a reference to the boat. But Irse de Pinta is como, like, escape from school. Like, ditching school. And he said that Joselo is the one that was talking about it in the book. He talks about the song how they were doing a gig in Mexico City, and for some reason he was mad or whatever, and he just yelled at the public, "Fuck Europeans," you know. And he received a lot of criticism for that, but it's almost like that sentiment that at the time, especially given the lack of acceptance of the album, people didn't get what they're doing because they were not straightforward. They're not straightforward rock en español. They have all of these influences. So this is a way of them saying, fuck you, we're going to ditch you all. Fuck this shit. We're going to do our own thing. Again, coming back to the theme of vamos a bailar por nuestro propio ritmo. So when you think about it in those terms, I never knew what the song was about until I read about it in the book, and it makes me appreciate the song. And also both Kike and Joselo, because we always talk about Ruben and Emmanuel, but Kike Rangel y Joselo, they're like such a huge part of the band.
Okay, track 18, El Baile y el Salón. This is the one that reminds me of your sister.
Really?
Does she like this one? Does Osita like that
song?
I don't know why it reminds me of her every time.
Because Josie and Samir knew the song. My nephews. This also reminds me of our friend Juan from Washington. My love for Café Tacuba. Like, that's how I bonded with Juan when we were both in El Paso. And now he's an elementary teacher. And this is how he gets the kids' attentions. When the kids are all crazy and talking, he just starts yelling, "Papa, do papa." And then the kids respond with, "Eh, oh," and then they're quiet.
Oh, that's so
cute. It's super cute. But, you know, this song, I think this is, to me, the most personal of the songs, because the lyrics they're gay. This is a queer song. This is about two dudes dancing on the dance floor. You know, de hombre a hombre, voulez-vous coucher avec moi? It's about that, you know, and they don't hide it. And that's the thing, like, in the 90s, during such a, as we mentioned, Molotov and all this, like, cock rock, all this very, like male, cis, straight. Here you have those dudes that coming out of that, and then they just write a song about two dudes dancing together, you know? And of all the podcasts and everything that I researched, nobody mentions that. Absolutely nobody. So I've seen Café Tacuba 19 times, and I pretty much see right. And I've seen them with friends and family, but I never actually saw them with a partner. So, like, I will always had this, like, dream of dancing with a dude during that song. So I finally did it last year with my husband, and it was beautiful. But when we were doing that, just to show you that the fucking homophobia sinks into this shit, because that's where a lot of these movements come from, you know? Nos agarraron de la...
Ruben was like, sacan esos pinches.
No. No, I wish it was like that. Nos agarraron de las cabezas y pum, they nos estamparon contra, like, face against face. So, like, I was hugging him, and I was just facing him very close, and somebody just went pass, and then we hit each other, and we couldn't see who it was. Like, it was fucking crazy.
Oh my god.
But you think I made me stop? I just kiss him harder. Like, fuck them. So, but this is, I think, that corito de Paparu Papa, it's become an anthem. Even before the, in a lot of the concerts that I've been to, before they actually come out on stage, people start yelling that Paparu Papa. But anyway.
Aww. Okay. The penultimate song, El. ¿Cómo se dice?
El puñal y el corazón.
El puñal y el corazón. Ah, this reminds me. Didn't Cumbia Kings use this in something?
No, I think you. That's that. You're thinking of.
That's what I
you're
wrote.
Thinking of Rarotonga.
No. That's the Cumbia Kings sound. But, like, the beat of this song is like a classic 60s song. that a lot of people use?
Oh, I don't know, because I always think about this song as a danzón.
Explain.
I don't know. Danzón is a type of rhythm that is very common and also in places like Veracruz. Es como de la costa. But you always see, for example, in muchas plazas in central Mexico, on Sundays you have the couples dancing danzón. So this is the rhythm of danzón. And there's a famous movie with Maya Rojo, also called Danzón. But anyway, this is also a good song because it just builds up, and then it becomes its own thing at the end.
Yes. Okay. And then the final track, El Balcón. What do you think about this
Which
one?
Juxtaposed with the beginning song is like the perfect like coming off, you know, especially because El Puñal y El Corazón ends in such a high fucking note. El Balcón, it's like landing you into like the end of the album. Not my favorite song, but I don't know, like I sincerely like every single song from this album, but I just have my ultimates, and again El Aparato, it's my favorite song of all time.
Yeah, I wonder what, I don't know what my favorite one is. It's hard to pick.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And they were gonna leave some out, and they insisted that they wanted to keep all of them. That's why this is so that's why it was so criticized, because it's almost like, here comes these kids. They are part of this movement of Caifanes, La Maldita, Santa Sabina, like all these bands, and they all have this like very specific identity. Y aquí vienen esos cabrones with a fucking album of 20 songs, with very like literary and also like very complicated themes, with rhythms that go from techno to fucking heavy metal. Pues, of course, la gente no los iba a querer, you know?
Well, what a beautiful work of art. Thank you for that, Babs. That was fun.
I could keep going and going and going. But why don't we take a break?
All right. OMG. Shout out to all our Patreon supporters. And again, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com/donate or patreon.com/latinoswholunch to support the show. We're going to give our shout outs to our comadres this episode, and we're going to continue with Erika. Thank you so much.
Es Beiri B. Muchísimas gracias.
GM, thank you. Oh, wow. GM, thank you for that.
Gabriela O.
Thank you for being our comadre. They could have at least afforded the... No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I was making a bad General Motors joke, but you know, I know we're all suffering right now in these times. Okay.
Gabriela O, shout out to you, girl.
Gabriela S, thank you.
Germán M, shout out.
Grecia R, thanks.
Hector D, muchísimas gracias.
Jeanette R.
And Janet H, gracias.
Jessica M, thank you.
Jessica V, muchísimas gracias.
Josué R, thank you so much.
Catherine H, shout out to you.
That's my friend, Catherine Hall. Oh, shit. Bleep her name out. I said her last name. I love her. Thank you. Catherine M. Thank you.
Lauradora N. Shout out.
Oh, my gosh. Leah. Thank you. Leah TH. Oh, my gosh. I feel the love, you guys. You don't have to do this.
LZ. Muchísimas gracias.
Lucia A, thank you. Lucia, gracias.
Lydia M, shout out to you.
Magali, oh, that's a beautiful name. Oh my God, Magali, I love that.
Go ahead. Marisol, shout out.
Melissa G, thank you.
Michael, is lit.
Mingo, C.
Nick B, muchísimas gracias.
Osiris, Osiris.
Raciel C, shout out to you.
Raquel S, thank you.
Robin M, muchísimas gracias.
Rosario, gracias.
I was going to say S. Lo decir el último. Anyway, Sarah R, shout out.
Shannon M, thank you.
Susan A, gracias.
Sylvia F, I see you.
Tania M, S, gracias.
Janet P, gracias.
Yesenia S, muchísimas gracias.
And Yessi LD, thank you so much, everybody. You're amazing.
Yes, everybody. Muchísimas gracias to our comadres. Again, remember that we're going to keep giving you some shout outs. We're feeling the love. We're getting a lot of Patreons. But remember also, you can go to PayPal and donate one time only, or you can become our amiga, comadre madrina. All you have to do is go to latinoswholunch.com/donate to support us, to allow us to continue this labor of love. Muchísimas gracias.
Party. And we're back.
Ay, pues su madre. So yes, Re, it is one of the greatest albums in Latin American pop history. No le voy a echar tanto. Para mí lo que es Re and the person that I'm going to give a shout out to next are the greatest albums in Latin American history. But anyway, let's start. Let's conclude this with some recommendations, shall we?
Go for it, dude.
Güey, estúpida. Mi pelo, mi peluca, mis extensiones, mis colitas, mis trenzas. Bitch, Rita Indiana is back.
Yes, I love her.
My God, so... I was just looking at an interview that said there is no fucking way in hell that I will get back to a stage. Does that mean she's gonna come out with an album and not do a tour? I don't give a fuck, because she is fucking perfection. She came out with a song called Como un Dragón, and she says Como un Dragón, the Game of Thrones, and the song is fucking fire. It's artsy as fuck. Watch the video. It's all over the place. It's really DIY. DIY, o como chingado se diga. And
do it yourself. DIY.
And the song is incredible. And I thought, because she's come out with I think 2 years ago, she actually did one performance. And she came out with a song a week or two before that performance. So I thought, oh, maybe she's doing something special. Because she's a writer. She actually is a writer, and she's won awards in the Dominican Republic. And in fact, in this song, she throws shade. She's like, well, you're fucking putting together two verses for your song. I'm here finishing two novels. Like, so she's throwing so much shade to criticism. And it's amazing. It's an incredible song. And it gets me so excited. I think he had somebody from Calle 13 to produce the album that is coming out in June. Voy a estar como con el hilo de pimienta. I'm going to be waiting for every single. I'm going to wait here, sitting down, because I know that song is going to... If this song is any indication of the album, it's going to be amazing. Again, it's Rita Indiana. La canción es Como un Dragón. Google it, motherfuckers.
Love it.
Te toca.
Oh my goodness. Oh, there's so many things I want to recommend, but oh my gosh, I'm not sure. You know what? I'm going to go to TV this time, because I usually do podcasts, but I'll save that for the next episode. I've been catching up on a lot of shows because I have a little bit more time now, and I'm trying to do just like one episode of a show every day. And I've actually been very surprised by Insecure this season. It's on HBO, and the music from that show is so good. So the last episode I watched was a Thanksgiving episode, and I love when they play... they play like Latino music in it, because they're in LA, and I feel like it's one of the first like LA based TV shows that plays like, you know, Mexican music or Latinx music without it being like a joke, you know, because usually when you watch TV shows about LA and then the mariachis show up, it's like, it's pretty hacky.
Right.
So there's this scene in this episode that I'm talking about where Issa and her brother decide that they're going to ditch Thanksgiving at their mom's house, and they're going to go to a Mexican restaurant for Thanksgiving. And the mariachi shows up, right? And the mariachi, usually the gag is that it's just the mariachi and they're loud and corny, but they start singing a whole song about Thanksgiving. They like wrote a whole song.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Issa's like, they got a Mexican, they're like, there's a Mexican Thanksgiving song, what the fuck. It was so funny. And so it's part of the whole story of the episode, which is really fun. And the music that they chose is just like chef's kiss that whole episode. So I recommend listening to Insecure and listening to all the music or watching Insecure and then like paying attention to their episode songs. And I'm sure people on Spotify have already made the playlist per episode, and just take a listen. It's really, I love it when shows have little Easter eggs and then when the songs actually like expand on the narrative, it's so beautiful. It's a great show.
And Insecure's always been about music. Every season they do a reference to Frank Ocean. And then in the last season they had a whack ass Coachella episode, which was fucking hilarious. I haven't seen the new season, but I can wait. Yes.
It's great. And as far as other Latinx media, I mean, I don't think I'm watching anything else that's specifically Latinx right now. I already watched Gentified. I'm trying to think of something else. But yeah, I'm excited to kind of dive in. But I'm right now I'm on Insecure. I'm watching Insecure, Drag Race, Schitt's Creek, and High Fidelity. Oh, that's actually pretty good. I'm like halfway through it on Hulu. So I'm kind of rotating through those. So once I start watching other shows, I'll let you guys know what I think. High Fidelity is cute. I think you would like... Do you know about this, Pablito? Mm-mm. Okay, do you remember the movie? I think it's from the 90s right. or 80s by the Cusack guy. What's his name? John Cusack?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I fucking stan Joan Cusack. Do you know Joan Cusack?
La actriz?
Yeah, his sister?
Yes.
I love her. Is it a gay thing? I think gays love Joan Cusack.
Yes, but let me tell you something.
What?
I used to love her until I saw an interview with Gabby.
No, don't ruin her. What happened? What'd she say?
¿Cómo se llama? La Precious? Gabby.
Yeah.
She basically
Gabrielle,
told her.
No. Gabby.
Plaza.
I don't remember her name.
Esa es otra.
Wow.
But you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yes. She's like, who are you kidding? Like, you're never going to get anywhere in this business, like with that weight or something like that. She
said that?
Yeah, she said that to her. And
she's canceled.
And Gabby, this was years ago, bitch. And Gabby's like,
wait,
I was so
she
disappointed because I love her so much. I fucking, there's a movie with Robin Williams called Toys, and she plays a fucking robot. It's the perfect character. It's so good.
Oh my God. I used to fucking love that movie.
Oh my God. Me too. It's so good.
I would rent it from Blockbuster. That's how old I am. We would rent that fucking, because we thought it was a kid's movie when we first rented it. But my brothers didn't like it because they didn't get it. They were too little. And I was like, this movie's fucking weird. I love it.
And it's woke as fuck. It's so good. I love the movie.
Oh, damn. That sucks about Joan. Fuck you, Joan Cusack. You're dead to me. Okay.
Yeah.
So, where was I going with this? Oh,
Latinx
High Fidelity.
Media. Oh, yeah. High Fidelity.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Uh-uh.
So, it's about this guy that's, like, really in touch with his feelings or something. I don't know. And he, like, owns a record store and he like dwells on his past relationships and shit. I don't know. Watch the movie. I watched it a long time ago. I don't remember it. I need to rewatch it. But they took the concept from that movie and made it into, I think it's 8-episode TV show. And instead of the lead being a white man, it's actually Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz, yeah.
Yeah, so she's the lead in it and she owns a record shop. And so it's been really fun because it's like, it's all music references. So it's all very, like, very, I mean, I don't want to say it's very hetero because there are queer characters in it. She herself is a queer character in the show, but, I feel like the musical taste, but I mean, the last episode I watched, they geeked out about Os Mutantes, you know?
Oh, so it's wow.
Like, yeah. So their references are pretty deep, which I really like. So
you know what
I guess that's another recommendation.
You know what I have to start watching, and I don't want to, but I have to do it for work. I'm writing an essay for a catalog on the exhibition of La Malinche, and I have to write about the way that she's been portrayed as a traitor in the 20th century. And I kind of have to watch the shows that are coming out about the conquest because we're nearing the 500-year anniversary of the fall of Tenochtitlan. Pero hay tanta mierda, güey. And just to look at another fucking show about La Malinche being conquered by the Spanish, I can't. And it's like, me está costando un huevo. But I think for research, I have to get into it. But that's one of the things that I want to do within the next year. Hopefully, do a whole episode just on La Malinche, because to tie it into the exhibition that it's opening in the Denver Art Museum next year, but also get into feminism, Latin American Mexican feminism, and get into the 500-year anniversary of this character that has become the epitome of everything. Speaking of La Ingrata, like, she is La Ingrata. She's the embodiment of La Ingrata, right? Of how fucked up Mexicans treat women. But anyway, I digress. Anything else?
A huevo. That's it. do you want to say anything else?
That's it.
Okay. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. You can also help us at latinoswholunch.com/donate. Pre-order your coloring book today if you're interested. I will be shipping them out as soon as we get them printed. What else? Also, if you have time and you are not on Patreon, you can still support us by sharing the podcast with your friends, with your families, and rating our show 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to right now is by the band Balloon.
Woohoo!
And thank you in advance to Café Tacuba for not suing us about this episode. I'm Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito. Ciao.
Bye.